Hello.
Hello, hello, SOS pod friends.
SOSers, saucers.
Saucers.
Did that ever take off? Did we just make that up?
I don't know. Well, you made it up for sure, but I think it needs to take off.
Oh, you made that up.
But I like saucers because it also references our conspiracy theory episode with flying saucers.
And should we do another one? I'm kind of, you know what? Like, have you seen the viral videos of these women, these Karens, at these town hall meetings and all their conspiracies against wearing the masks? And
I'm Oh yeah. Oh my God. Oh my God. I saw the best. I shared it. So if anyone follows me on Instagram, you've probably seen it or
so
not because you're tired of my Instagram shit, but still going. Anyway, there was a man, it was a video, and it's this man at a town hall meeting screaming at the top. I tell you, this is a grown ass man screaming at the top of his lungs into a microphone. You can raise your voice too, but like you're screaming. And he's shouting about how you all did not read. We, the people, because he's mad about having to wear a mask. And how dare the government tell me what I should or shouldn't do? And somebody wrote on this and was like, imagine if he was told that he had to carry and give birth to a child, but the government forced him, that the government could force him to carry and give birth to a child. Imagine what his reaction would be, because this is just to wearing a mask, which, by the way, you're not arrested.
Violation.
You're not arrested for not wearing a mask, by the way. It's just a thing. But like, if your outrage is at that level, and these Karens that you're talking about, if your outrage is at that level, like, no. Just think about what you'd feel like if the government put restrictions on your physical body. Wow.
Yeah, but like with the women aspect, because women are
right
oppressed in that way.
Right.
But I think my issue, and a lot everyone's issue with these uber
Karens.
Conservative, like, I want to say left field, but it's right field. It's like like conspiracy loving white women. Well, it wasn't even just white women. This one woman, she was Hispanic. Like, I feel like it's how I feel about the Hispanic, a lot of the Hispanic community. It's like you're aligning yourself with as much privilege as possible.
Right, right.
And you're, you know, you ignore your own oppression, because then you'd have to acknowledge that you're lesser than.
No, you're right, because it's like, okay, I have two cards I can play right now. I can play the women card or the white card. Which one's going to get me more sway in this room? Which one's going to get me more power? Right now, it's the white card, so I'm going to play the white card. I'm going to ignore the fact that I'm a woman and I've experienced these things. Or whatever you are, Hispanic or you're gay, whatever oppression you know, you're in a room and you figure out which card gives you more social capital and you play that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh. And it's also, you know, having religious and traditional backgrounds, it's, you know, you're going to do what your husband tells you to do. If your husband is telling you that 5G is keeping you from wearing your masks and.
Oh, my God.
She said, it's what this woman said. She said. Oh, we are in a weird world, saucers.
Saucers.
But you know what? This is a great transition, because we are talking about race in this episode, and we're talking about interracial relationships and the cards that we're dealt with, the cards that we play, and and like different experiences that you might not know about. And I know Molly has her own experiences in this, but I feel like in the gay community, it has a whole other set of obstacles. And
That's why I had so many questions, because I was like, I've experienced it obviously in the straight world, but I have questions for like a gay interracial couple. Like, I learned a lot. I learned a lot in this conversation, and so being someone who's been in many interracial relationships. And so I feel like it's important for people to hear if they haven't been in, especially if they haven't been in any, because there's points that they brought up that I was like, oh my God, you're right. And like I said, I'm dealing with this stuff all the time. And so I think I'm grateful to Alex and Dace for being here, because it's like, this incredible opportunity to hear two sides of a story from two people who love each other so much and have each other's back no matter what and are willing to be open about these hard issues and moments that they've had that have been hard. And I please, like, listen to this and spread this episode to family and friends, and it's important.
Yeah. So without further ado, here's Alex and his boyfriend Dace. Well, I am so happy that you both are here. Thank you so much. Thank you again. I mean, this is a double dose of Mr. Alex Taylor Williams. You're welcome, audience. but this time you get to meet his amazing partner, Dace Stringari.
Yes.
Hello. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much, both Alyssa and Molly, for having me. I'm so excited to sit down and talk to y'all.
I'm so excited. Yeah.
I'm so glad to be back, y'all. I feel like I never left.
Actually, you know what? Oh, you're our second recurring guest ever. So that's a big deal.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Jordan, Alyssa.
Yeah.
Because Jordan's episode technically hasn't come out yet as we're recording this. So you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
I'm even getting confused. Oh my gosh.
I just want to say, like, shouldn't everybody share the excitement of, like, I get so excited to talk to people with different experiences than me or stories that I don't know, or, like, that's what these interviews do for me too. But I'm just like, oh my God, I can't wait to ask you guys these things because we have certain common threads and certain different things. And it's like, why don't we all, as a fucking species, acknowledge how exciting that is? So much more exciting to me than sitting down with someone who's lived a life exactly like mine.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, totally.
Well, we kind of talked about Al's upbringing a little bit in the last episode, but I'm curious to see, like, what yours was like, Dace. Because I know you're from North Dakota, right?
Yeah, so I grew up in North Dakota in a town probably with no more than, maybe 9,000 people. Grew up in, obviously, a all-white neighborhood. I graduated with two Black people who were raised by white families. They were fostered.
Wow. Oh.
And so, like, in terms of diversity, zero. And just, you know, also being gay, that brings, you know, a whole another realm of living in this, like, society. And to be honest with you, I never, like, came out until I was graduating high school.
Really?
So, like, living with, like, knowing that I was gay but couldn't be outwardly gay because I was worried, you know? But also being a dancer. And so, like, there was always, like, you know, an assumption. And now being an adult, I always, like, am sort of like, why didn't I just own it? Like, I would have been so much happier.
Well, I mean, like, how supportive was your family? Like, did they make comments knowing that, like, you could be gay? Or was it just not spoken in the house, your identity?
Yeah, it just really wasn't spoken about. Like, I mean, when I told my mom, she was, like, not shocked. You know what I mean? It wasn't like oh, my God. But, I think for me, it would be more about, like, how other people would treat me if I actually, like, opened up to that level. Because even, you know, I was bullied. And, like, I was, like, chased around one time with scissors and just, like, crazy things. Yeah. And so it's just, like, maybe it was best that I sort of waited until I was older to do that kind
honestly,
of thing, actually own it and know who I was.
In, like, small towns especially, and I grew up in a very small town too, and, like, I remember this one kid in my class who we all knew he was gay, like, middle school. Maybe he came out in high school, but what I do remember is, like, being 12 years old and he passed a note across the desk to me and was like, will you be my girlfriend? And we were really good friends. But I knew he was gay. Like, he knew he was gay, you know? And I'm like, of course, we had never talked about it, though. And I wrote him back. It was like, check yes or no. And I checked no and passed it back to him and just looked at him like, what are you talking about? And he just, like, laughed. And he's like, okay. But I was, like, thinking about, like, his experience because it's not – I mean, it's difficult anywhere. Like, we all know, being gay, it doesn't matter where you are. So then when you put yourself in a small – at least a small American town, like, I can't speak for other countries, but, like, that shit is not, like, it's easy, you know, retrospect to be like, man, I would have been happier. I wish I would have. But I'm sure, as you know, like, you can't beat yourself up for what your experience was at the time and where you were.
Right. Yes. But and also I know at the same time, I feel like we also grew up in a generation where, you know, we did have a lot, we started to have more freedoms, I think, and be seen a little bit more, I think, like, towards end of high school, early years of college, things kind of shifted, I think, culturally, and it just became, I don't know, a little bit more acceptable.
Yeah.
But I always think about, like, back in the day, like, generations, like, guys that, like, never, people, men and women, that never came out the closet, you know?
Right,
Yeah, we went to school with people that, like, didn't come out until college, you know?
No, you're Al, you're still right. It's like
people still in the closet, girl.
Well, and it's interesting. I don't know if we can, like, but what you just said, Al, it's interesting because it's like, I don't know if this is, we're all in the same generation, so we don't have a clear perspective, but, like, I feel like our generation was on a weird precipice of, like, our childhoods, it wasn't accepted. Now we're all, what, like, 30 something, and it's like, it is, so to speak, but, like, we kind of, our growth spanned that shift, though. That's my perspective as a straight white woman. So hearing you say that, I was like, that's interesting to think about because it does feel like within our lifetimes, things have changed more than they did in other generations' lifetimes.
Yeah, totally. And, did, like, you... even seeing ourselves in, like, you know, growing up, at least my family would watch, like, Living Color and seeing, like, Jamie Foxx and drag and, like, Will and Grace and, like, shows like that. Like, it just became more, I don't know, more acceptable.
Did you guys ever watch Tu Wong Fu?
Yeah. No. I love that movie.
That was, like, my favorite movie growing up.
Is that problematic now because they were all, like, cis straight men that played?
I give John Leguizamo a pass.
Just John Leguizamo. There, it's a great movie, Molly.
I've never seen it.
And I feel like they did their research, though. It's not like they were being ignorant about their roles. I feel like they really committed.
It was like Wesley Snipes and Patrick Swayze and John Leguizamo. They were drag queens.
Anything. He inspired me a lot, too. Like, even his stand-up. Have you ever watched, like, his old-school stand-up from back in the days? Like,
God, my family, that was, like, we were obsessed with it because, there's not a lot of Latino comedians, and he spoke a lot of truth about being a New Yorker, a Latino in New York, and that's a lot of my mother's experience. And I love him. But I'm curious, like, when you guys talk about your childhoods, do you find a lot of similarities between how accepted you were in your communities? And, like, do you think if there are differences and there were differences in your stories, it's because, like, it's not even just that you're gay. It's because you're also, you know, you are a Black gay man. And that comes with another, you know, set of just, I don't know, stereotypes and people having issues with that. And, do you find a lot of those, your stories kind of... Melding.
Well, I think every person in the LGBTQ plus community can identify with feeling alienated and made fun of and ostracized. I think, honestly, that's something that we just all go through, even in our adult life. Like, just the other day, like, this random guy that I don't even know, like, ran across the street to tell me that my shorts were too short.
What?
Like, little, like, just random, like, little things like that, like, that we all have to pay. Mind you, these were not, like,
short, like, but he was just trying to, like, humiliate me. Like,
wow.
When I was living in New York, some guy told me that too. I remember being like, these shorts aren't even that short. I don't know what is it.
Right,
not, never just... in LA. No one in LA will tell your shorts are too short.
No, it's true.
Girl, I know,
like,
that's right.
What the hell?
They'd be like, I'm sorry, I don't see your ass cheek.
Yeah. But literally, you know, but that's something that I think all gay people, like queer mm-hmm. people, we have to deal with, just feeling like we're always going to be called out about something. So we definitely had that in common. Obviously, I grew up in a more diverse area than North Dakota. So, you know, I don't think we had a lot like that we could relate to, like, as far as like our groups of friends, because, you know, I did have a somewhat diverse group of friends, and a lot of them, like, we weren't openly gay, but we had that, like, understanding that we were gay, even if mm-hmm. we weren't out yet. Yeah. So we would all kind of, like, have, like, that support, that group of support that was really important.
I feel like my group of friends were just women. Like, I didn't mm-hmm. have, and, like, growing up, I didn't have male friends.
Yeah.
Like, not one. Mm-hmm. So, that also, I know Al, like, has talked to me about, like, growing up with, like, you know, male friends that, like, he had in the theater community or whatever. That didn't exist for me. So, I always was, like, and even to this day, like, I'm always, like, a little bit more shy around men. Because mm-hmm. I don't know how to, like, really interact, because I never grew up with, you know, male figures in my life.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting part for me.
How did you guys meet? And also, like, what were your first impressions of one another?
Well, we met on Grindr.
I don't know
if you've heard of it.
Yes.
What's that?
And the first impression was, wow, he's just down the street. Like, so convenient.
No.
But I think anybody that meets Dace just knows, like, he's just such a good person. And he's just was so sweet. And I don't know what it is, like, he's met my family and they've all, like, said the same thing, like, just, like, I just noticed what a sweet natured spirit he had.
Yeah.
So
you guys have been together how long?
6 years.
Wow. Yeah,
I was like 2014.
Long time.
Yeah.
Like, right after I graduated college, I moved here to Brooklyn, and right after he graduated, everybody moves to Brooklyn after college nowadays. So,
yeah, it's like everybody.
We met.
Or, like, uptown.
I remember meeting Alex. Like, first of all, I was, like, very nervous to go on, like, to meet him. And, like, was sort of, like, having, like, last minute, like, I don't want to go. And, like, was, like, texting him being like, maybe I should, like, we should plan another day or something. And Alex was like, no, just come over, like, we'll just, like, have a drink, like, it can be chill. Mm-hmm. And so I did so, and I just remember Alex being so, like, welcoming and, like, easy to talk to, and also just, like, really fucking cool, like, mm-hmm. like, all of those things, and then just loving, and just, you know, mm-hmm. he has so much compassion and passion for mm-hmm. everything that he does. And so all of those things, you know, really attracted me to him, and, like, never, like, I never wanted to be without him. Like, I felt that right away.
Yeah.
Was it both of yours first interracial relationship? Like, have you had experiences? And is it something that, you know, you looked for or didn't really necessarily think about?
Like, in terms of, like, a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah. My first interracial, mm-hmm.
I mean, this was, like, really my first, like, relationship, period. Because, like, in college, like, I didn't really date like that much, just because mm-hmm. we went to school and we had a group of friends, and it was actually a very large school, which most people would think is great, but like it's just hard when you have such a tight knit, and then like you're not able to kind of branch out and meet people. So I kind of feel like in a lot of ways I like missed out on that. And also I was really just focused on my internships and working and mm-hmm. school. So then afterwards, you know, meeting Dace, it was just, I think it was just like kind of like the right time, like how everything happened. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have some questions. Like, I'm very curious because the last time I dated a white guy was like right after college. And so I've had years of interracial relationships, obviously on the straight side. And so I'm so curious to pick your guys' brains a little bit, in the sense that, like, so many questions, but like, make, you know, you're in New York, I'm in LA. So we know what it's like to be in major cities, you know, blue states, dating interracially, and what that's like. And I kind of want to know, like, have you guys traveled outside of, have you gone like to your hometown days, or traveled to smaller cities or smaller towns, or just other parts of the country together? It's kind of a two-part question. I was also wanting to know, I was telling Alyssa, like, when I go out and I'm in an interracial, why is it so hard to say? Interrelationship?
I know. I want to
interracial relationship. And if we get looks or comments, or we know it's because it's an interracial relationship. But if you guys go out and get looks or comments, are you like, is it because we're gay? Is it because we're black and white? Is it because, like, it could be coming from so many different angles. And so it's mm-hmm. like, I would imagine, I don't know. It's like, for me, I don't question why they're looking at, because I'm like, I get it. You're having heart attack because I'm white and he's black. It's, oh my God. But for you guys, it's like, not that it really matters, but also when you're interpreting people's reactions, I guess it's probably like, well, where is this coming from? Mm-hmm. Is it because of this?
It does
this?
Matter because, you know, it also affects our safety. You know,
you're right.
We could be as, you know, open and free thinking right now, but there's still a lot of people that want to put us in harm's way and mm-hmm. would, you know, I always just kind of have that in the back of my mind, looking, even, you know, obviously what they do to the trans community, but there is still a lot of like aggression towards, you know, being in a gay relationship, even though there is more visibility now.
Yeah.
So sometimes I do fear, like, if we are out, you know, and we're showing, like, you know, affection towards each other, like, it could end up being, you know, a situation if somebody doesn't agree with it.
Yeah.
So I feel like at least when you're in a straight relationship, like, people, for whatever reason, don't feel the need to, like, go and harass a straight person.
Right.
But being in a gay interracial relationship, it's like people feel like they can say whatever to you, do whatever to you, and this is black yeah. people and white people, you know.
So do you get like, for me, in a straight interracial relationship, the things I hear side comments, I hear things that they want me to hear, but they're saying it amongst each other. I don't get people personally. I haven't had people come up and say things, but I've heard literally right next to me, like, go get one of your own, go get one of your. So when you're a gay interracial relationship, you guys have had a number of people like just flat out come up to you and say shit.
I feel like when people come up to us, it's more of the, oh my God, you guys are so cute. And it's like, why though?
Yeah, like, you're being othered. You're not really, it's mm-hmm. not, you know, it's like you're talking to human beings and not accessories for your, you know,
yeah,
whatever life you want to see in front of you, you know, whatever, to make yourself feel comfortable. Like, you're just, you're not accessories, you're human people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So, Molly, going back to your first question, Alex and I actually, when we very first met, like 6 months after living or, you know, staying together, we actually moved to Arizona.
Really?
And lived in this, like, really small, like, you know, like, snowbirds go there.
Like a resort community.
Yeah.
Was it Scottsdale? Is that what?
No, Maricopa. No.
Oh, okay.
It was like maybe like an hour from Scottsdale.
Oh, okay. Wait, you moved there, like full on moved there?
Yeah, we moved there and lived there for a year. And whoa. I would say in Arizona, I more so like noticed those sorts of comments, you know, and like people sort of like not feeling comfortable or maybe overcompensating. And like that's when those comments would come out. And also maybe not being exposed to, you know, gay people, let alone a white man and a black man. Yeah. Like, it just, like, really threw people off.
Mm-hmm.
Did you I noticed it there the most.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel any sort of judgment from family or friends, you know, because this is kind of, you know, your first relationship or even in, interracial relationship? Like, did you ever feel kind of, like, judgment or some sort of feelings about, you know, dating outside your race from your close loved ones?
I have.
Both of their faces right now. If you guys are watching YouTube.
Just like, it's, you know, we're going to have these kind of culture clashes because he's from North Dakota and I'm from here. So it's not a surprise to me, but you know, I did go and visit North Dakota. Was that last year?
Yeah, last year.
Last year. Mm-hmm. I went for the first time and, you know, was around people, you know, that is family, friends of family, things like that. And one person did, you know, try to ask if I was voting for Trump, you know, out of nowhere. It was like having, you know, a barbecue and then somebody just feels the need to just try to talk about politics with me, whether or not he knew what I was politically, you know, and it just felt obviously like very targeted in that moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was to be expected. So I wasn't surprised that it happened.
How do you two, like in that situation, for example, because I've never experienced that, but like on your side, I guess it all depends on, I guess, where you stand, Dace, because obviously you don't back that up. But I mean, like, in your guys' relationship, when you're on that trip and you're taking him back to visit your family, and it's an important moment whether or not you get along with these people. It's just a big deal, right? So, like, it's your loved ones, too, and you don't, I mean, between the two of you, how do you navigate that? So that it doesn't become a rift between the two. Obviously, you guys, your hearts are in the same place. But when you are in that actual situation and it's loved ones and somebody's putting someone in a situation and you're in the middle, like, how do you deal with that?
I know. Thinking about, like, I'm not afraid to say who that was that did that to Alex. It was my grandfather.
Alex is like, oh, okay. Yeah, but that's context because it's generational.
It's context, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was my grandfather on my younger brother and sister's, it was their father's dad. Mm-hmm. But given the climate that we are in today, that situation would have been handled completely different. I feel like when that was happening, like, my mom and I were both, like, telling my grandfather, like, just to, like, shut up, you know, just, like, stop, like, why are you doing that? Like, I was like, you know what side we're on.
Right, right.
And I feel like if that would have happened today, like, I would have wanted to, like, actually have, like, a full-on conversation about it and not sweep it under the rug with, like, a, oh, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
So in that, when that did happen, that's how I sort of navigated it. And Alex was like, yeah, I voted for Hillary and I'm definitely not voting for Trump, you know, like, you straight up said that.
Yeah, and I think as Black people, you learn very at a very young age that in life, you know, you're going to have to navigate yourself with around people that feel that way and that support, you know, just overall white supremacy, really. Yeah. You know, whether they're disguising it as Christianity or they're disguising it as nationalism or something like that, like at a young age, very young age, especially being from where I'm from in Jersey, you know, you learn that you have to navigate that world. And even my experience, you know, in my career, like being the only person of color and then having to learn, you know, how to navigate the microaggressions and
yeah,
the different, you know, things that I've had to experience kind of like prepared me to be like in a relationship like this. But also it helps that we're not there. You know, it's not something that I have to deal with every day. It's not people that I know personally or have any kind of that I'm really involved in. So I'm kind of detached from it.
Yeah.
But I really don't know how we would have handled it if like those were people that, you know, we see often.
It's interesting because it's like, I mean, I'm pretty certain. I think the answer to in any relationship, no matter the race or the gender or whatever, is just is communication. And so I would venture to say, and I don't want to speak for you, Alex, but it's like if you know your partner has your back and is behind you in a moment like that, I guess that's what would have to get you through. Because I think in a relationship, regardless of what happens in that conversation at the barbecue, then you go home and you're in the room together and you're like, then the conversations come out and it's like, how is that in terms of like, did either of you start to, or like rather Al, were you like, did you have any piece of you that was like, oh my God, like this is where Deus comes from. I wonder if he has any of this in him. Like not that you do, but you know what I'm saying? Like these are interracial relationship issues.
Those fears, yeah.
Yeah. I'm never going there again. But not because of that situation. Just because there's no real need for me to go there again.
Right.
Because I saw it, you know, I saw it with my two eyes and I was there and I experienced it. Mm-hmm. And I appreciated that moment seeing, you know, where he come from. And it gave me a lot of perspective about a lot of other, like, white people in my life that, you know, friends and people I grew up with and stuff, like, what it's like for them, you know, and what their families are like. It's eye-opening, but I think just being there and hopefully being visible and them seeing us and seeing us do well will motivate them to just, you know, educate, just kind of learn about their privilege.
Mm-hmm. And at the very, very least, get over it.
Yeah. Like Dace, do you feel like you have this kind of responsibility because you're kind of like a black sheep in your family when it comes to, you know, politics, identity and things like that? So I feel like, do you feel like you have to represent a marginalized community and the fact that you're dating a black man, the black community is included in that? Like, do you feel like you have to represent in that way?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's a lot because like I have, you know, like I'm embarrassed. You know, like but at the same time, I know that the only way that this is ever going to get mildly better is to have the conversations and be an advocate and be an ally. And, you know, it has to be vocalized. And so I'm right now like at the point of like, I'm not backing down and I'm gonna fill your feed with my Instagram stories about the movement. I'm gonna blast your Facebooks and I don't care.
Yeah.
And so Yeah, I definitely feel like I have to do those things. I feel like if I didn't, it would I don't know.
Yeah, and it's hard because you would think that the people that love you and obviously that love me, you know, in return would understand where you are coming from. But it just goes to show you that, you know, really you can, if you're so detached, you know, like these, there are a lot of them are in these small, deserted, you know, communities where they don't have people of color around them. And our relationship is just so foreign to them, really, even though we can sit there and have a barbecue and stuff. Like, it's just some things that I think certain people will never understand.
But for me, it's like not even like for my family, it's not so much the being gay, it's the race issue.
Yeah.
And so that, and like for me, I'm just like, I don't understand how you even have a rebuttal for what I'm saying. Like, you're being racist.
Right.
Like, and that's what I can't comprehend.
And like,
No,
go ahead.
I was going to say, like, do you find that there's a difference now? I mean, after this past month and everything that's gone down, have you noticed like a shift in your family and how they respond to your, because you've always been vocal ever since I've known you. You've been vocal and like posting so much about Black Lives Matter, anything pertaining to, you know, supporting marginalized communities. So I wonder, is there a shift now with your family and in response to your.
Definitely posts? My mom. My mom has shifted completely and is also now posting and vocalizing her opinion.
No way.
Yes. So that's like sort of a win. But what really sort of breaks my heart is like my little sister, who I love her dearly. And you know, she's my little sister, but I just, you know, there's some complexities there because she's married to a cop. And so she's like getting, you know, that side of it where, you know, the Blue Lives Matter. And I just really feel like, because that's what she's living with.
Yeah.
That, and that's all she's hearing. That's what she's absorbing.
Yeah.
And we had a conversation about race, and it sort of like depleted from where I wanted it to go when she was having, you know, saying all these things. And I was like, are you fucking serious? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, we say these words.
I can't cuss, but
no, you can.
Oh, okay. Like, are you serious? Like, I never expected my own family to say something like that. And it really made me angry. Like, I had to completely retreat from the conversation.
Yeah.
Just to be like, that's my blood saying that. Like, how, like, I can't comprehend that. And then, like, also that I remember specifically that night, I just went to bed because, like, having that conversation with Alex, like, I couldn't imagine at the time, because it's, and that just comes from, like, you know, the embarrassment and, like, having to, like, own that. You know, while my family may not be racist, they have racist thoughts.
See,
you know?
I think I know what you're saying exactly. And I think that another aspect of white supremacy is that we are taught that racist means KKK. Racist is this extreme thing. I'm not a racist. Well, my mom's not a racist, but. And why do we have, I agree, because it's like, I have family members, I feel what you're saying, because I have family members who have said things, and I'm, and because, you know, also not in opposition to, but also they're a good person, and this is my uncle, or this is my sister, or this is my mom, and it's like, so then people are tempted to be like, well, they're not racist, but they just don't understand this or this or this. And I've like, the last month especially, I'm like, listen, why is it not a negative thing for a woman to say, I am a part, or sorry, for a man to say, I'm a part of the patriarchy because This is a patriarchal society. So I have a responsibility. It's not like look down on his character for him to acknowledge that. But for mm-hmm. white people, it's like a complete character disparagement to call someone a racist. That's the way it's been formed in society. And it is. But at the same time, racism is a spectrum. And to say it's not like you are or you aren't. And what you're describing and what I've experienced with some family members is like, I am tempted to be like, no, but they're not. And then I'm really like, Molly, like, be real with you. This is racist. This is racist. And I can think this person has all these good things about them as well, and also acknowledge, no, they're racist. Because I believe that every one of us, everybody who's not black, like, has something in, because we all grew up in a racist society. Yeah. So, like, there's something mm-hmm. ingrained of all of us. And those of us who are doing the work to deprogram ourselves are, that's like our responsibility, and we're doing it. But it's not like nobody evolves past being a part of a racist society. And mm-hmm. like, I had an uncle a couple of years ago. This was like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, before anyone else cared about this shit, seemingly. I'm like blasting Black Lives Matter, it's all over. And I had an uncle that said, replied to me and said, all lives matter. And this was like, honestly, before this was even a massive, it's not like today,
accepted,
right?
Accepted thing, yeah.
And I wrote back, and I don't engage. In social media, I'll say what I believe, but like, this was on, I don't know, Twitter, I think, which I deleted because I hate Twitter. Anyway, I was like, I don't tend to engage in like banter online because it's like just a black hole and everyone has the guts to say what they wouldn't say to you, blah, blah, blah. But this just like boiled my blood. And I wrote back and I was like, look, if your house is on fire, you call the fire department comes and sprays your house. Your neighbors aren't outside being like, what about our house? Because your house is not on fire. And like, that's the analogy I used, basically. Like, it's not saying these houses don't matter. It's just the burning house is the one we need to fix right now, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I said that, and I remember, and I was talking to Kip at the time, and I was just like, I mean, I was like tears of anger. Like, I'm on the computer on the couch like a fiend, like furiously typing and like sweating. I'm just like, this is, but it, what you described about it being your blood, it's like a whole nother level. And I know that's like whole thing of with white guilt, but at the same time, it's just like, no, 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 no. Because you are tied to me. Your blood aligns with my blood, and you actually think this, and it's a whole nother level of responsibility, embarrassment, like you said. And what do you do about it? It's like, then I feel like I can't not say something because you are tied to me in DNA, right. And I need to tell you this. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
I mean, it's also the same, like, the Latino community, too. It's just aligning yourself with as much privilege as possible. And it's also, like, sad to see, you know, family members of mine that forget where we came from. It's like, we're marginalized. Like, what are you talking about? Like, what our grandparents went through. It's just this whole thing.
Right.
And it's exhausting. And I get, with your family. It's heartbreaking, and you feel like you have to be responsible, and you have to have these conversations, but you don't know if it'll even fall on deaf ears or not. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And you want to have
and even on my, like, from my perspective, like, obviously having black friends and having black fam, being black, you know, a lot of people do like ask, why are you with a white person? Like, you with the oppressor. Like, that's definitely something that, you know, I've heard before. But I think that we just created, like, a bond, you know, and it wasn't something that, like, either of us, like, planned that was going to happen or, like mm-hmm. When you're on Grindr, no. You don't think you're looking for a long-term relationship, you know?
Yeah. You're like, who's within 5 miles?
Exactly. That's what it was. And, like, honestly, I think he was the only one that wasn't, like, a headless torso. So, like, I honestly felt like, okay, we're, like, around the same age. Like, and Grindr has changed a lot. Like, now it's, like, more of, like, a social media type platform and all kinds of stuff. But, like, I feel like back then it was, like, not as advanced.
No. Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't as many people on there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was just kind of crazy that we met that way.
Alex, how do you, like, when people say those things to you or family members or Black friends, like, do you feel defensive? What do you say? Like, what do you say?
I think that, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion at the end of the day. And obviously, I totally understand where they're coming from. And I don't expect them to obviously know Dace the way that I know Dace. They haven't been with him for 6 years. They don't know him from a bag of chips, you know? So I just think that it's important to, you know, for them to just see the way that he, like, really supports me and the way that he has really been there for me, like, through a lot of different times in my life. Like, now those family members, like, see, oh, like, it's, like, kind of, like, a long-lasting relationship. So,
yeah,
I think that really helped change things. And, you know, when it comes to friends, a lot of times I'm like, you do the same thing, girl. Like, you can't just say that you're only going to date, like, one race.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think we're all still young and, you know, that's what you're supposed to do.
And love isn't even connected to anything external like that.
Right.
Like, it's part of attraction, yes. But, like, when it comes to love, it's just, like, at the end of the day, like, I could have, you could list 100 reasons why you love one another, and I bet skin color is nowhere on there.
Like, exactly.
Mm-hmm. No, I actually wonder, like, in the LGBTQ community, is there, like, a specific, have you ever felt, I mean, you can't speak, you know, for the straight community, but have you noticed differences in how interracial relationships are, for lack of better words, dealt with or
received?
Approached?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, before I met Dace, I was, you know, just on the app, just looking, and a lot of white people would put, like, you know, no Blacks, no people of color, no
Asians. Are you serious?
Like, people on those apps, like, they really feel that they can just, you know, air out exactly what they want, who they want. And obviously that's been a thing. It's always been a thing in the gay community. You know, there's a lot. It is very racially divided. You know, you
really?
Have Black gay clubs. You have white gay clubs, you know. And
wait,
it wasn't
know,
until recently that,
this.
Like, you know, a lot of them have kind of become under, like, the same umbrella, I think. But you definitely still have a lot of conservative white gays. Mm-hmm. And they are the ones that are kind of, like, you know, the ones dominating, like, Hell's Kitchen and things like that. Like, but...
I mean,
you know,
like,
when I would see those things, I would just be like, good, glad that you put your racism, like,
right,
at the
right.
forefront so everyone knows, like, the Black
you forget, like, what Stonewall was all about. Like, it's Black, gay, and trans women, men. It's like, it's sad that that's forgotten in the community and in all communities. It's like,
yeah,
why we protest and how protesting really started and who, you know.
Yeah, and then always trying to align, like, their struggle with the struggle of Black people is particularly infuriating because y'all were not enslaved for gender. Like,
right.
You cannot try to even
it's
compare
apples
it.
And oranges. And it's not, that's the thing, like, people... Like, why do we as humans get so caught up in, like, proving that you've also, I know what you mean, because, and it's like, it's not, even if you've had a level of oppression, like, it doesn't matter. I'm a woman. I don't know shit about what it is to be Black or to be gay. And, like, to being a member of one oppressed community does not give you a pass for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I honestly admit, like, I don't, like, I had no idea about that. I didn't know that there was such a racial divide in the gay community. I didn't know that until you just said that. And I'm like,
yeah.
Wait, on the apps? Because, like, straight friends using the apps, nobody of course, people, there's equally, I'm sure, equal racist people on both apps, right? But nobody's putting no blacks, no blah, blah, blah. That's something they have to figure out later. But like, what?
How many gay white designers do you know? And then name how many gay black designers. You're right. Period. Like, there's always, they've always made a seat for themselves at the table. You know, there's always going to be a Marc Jacobs, a Tom Ford, a Calvin Klein. Like, the list goes on. And that's just how it's been for a long time. So I feel that, you know, things just need to change overall. Like, the gay community as well, it has a lot of deep, deep rooted racial issues.
And then there's also the issue of fetishizing
black
people. Yeah. And I feel like that's also very apparent in the gay community. Yeah. And, you know, like, only looking to date a black guy because he, like, is perceived to have a big penis or, you know, things like that. So, yeah, that's another whole nother, like, racist aspect of the gay community. Which people... And I don't know, maybe that exists in the straight community as well.
Absolutely.
Like, for me, growing up, it was, like, all the same. Like, if you were white, either if you're gay or you're straight, I knew that I just had to, like, kind of have a guard up, like, around you, just based on that fact. And I just already knew that how you were going to look at the world and your viewpoints were just going to be totally different from mine.
Yeah. And there's a lot of, I think that completely parallels with the straight community in interracial dating, where it's like, I can't even honestly even say how many, I've heard this so many times from black men who have dated white women before. Usually more than, it's not like before me, but then multiple before me. Like, it's not like only once, you know? And consistently what I hear is that, like, maybe even a whole year goes by and everything's great and nothing comes up. And the first like heated or deep blowout fight, something really big happens. And that's when you see it. And that's when... And these are situations with black men and white women. So that's where I'm speaking from with these situations. But in those moments, that's when the woman says something that hints at like, well, this is why I don't even know what. But I've heard this story so many times from black men who have dated white women and they have a hesitation. And even if they know you're a good person and like they could be with you for months as a white woman and still wonder, like, but if things really go down, where is she going to stand? And I used to be like, take it personally and be like, what do you mean? You know me. I've known you for years, or I've known you. We've been dating for however long. And I start to hear these stories where like, no, well, I was dating so-and-so for a year, 2 years. This really hard situation happened. And she said this in a fight, and you can't take words back. You cannot take words back. And like, sometimes the racism within people is so pushed down, especially when you said, like you guys are mentioning, fetishizing, and you know, it is to date a black man and the white women love the black men and it's a thing. And but the second shit gets real and you're fighting about whatever has you real fired up, that's when your true colors come out. And if you make a statement, it's scary. And so the walls, like Al, you're saying, the walls you have up initially are valid, let alone you could have known, that like you could know somebody for years and then it comes up and then you're just like, well, shit, like who can I even trust? And I at least in the straight community with interracial dating, I've heard that story over and over from black men who about white women. And it's just like appalling to me and it's embarrassing to me, even though it has nothing to do with me. And it's just like, holy shit, like I can't even blame you. I can't blame you. Like, I don't know. It's a lot.
Yeah, like when I met Dace, I was like, I really didn't think about it as like this long-term relationship, but I knew like, if anything, like, well, we might be friends, you know? But I did, like, I had to have my guard up because you never know really what people's intentions are.
Yeah. Is it a thing in the gay community Because what I noticed, one of the first questions that I'm always asked by men of color is, have you ever dated a black man before? And I was like, this is just some kind of like ego thing of like, you want to be the first. And with some men, I'm sure it was. But what I have come to realize over the years is like, no, this is like actually taking the temperature of like,
your loved ones, your right
are you fetish? Yes. Right. Are you fetishizing yeah. me? And also like, it's hinting at like, what does your family think? Have they seen this before? Mm-hmm. Your loved ones, mm-hmm. do they expect that? Yeah. What am I walking into? And is that like in the gay community too? Is that a thing? I'm sure it is. These are dumb questions,
Yeah, totally. It really is. And even in like friendships and stuff, like people that are still gay, but I don't have like a romantic relationship with, like, you know, they're still white people at the end of the day, some of them. And they still have a certain, you know, come from a certain place. So I don't know. I just feel like that's just how it's been my whole life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I actually, I'm curious, and this is kind of for like everyone, for like you too, Molly, like how has the past month been for like, I mean, as couples, but also like Dace and Molly, like how has it been to be, you know, the white person in a relationship, to have to watch all this going down and to feel like, you know, like to struggle in your allyship and like trying to figure out how to be supportive, but also like hold your own self accountable for things? Like how has that been, and the conversations been in the past month for everybody?
Maybe
wants to go first.
For me, I actually had a conversation. This is something that like, aside from music, it is like the most important thing to me in the world is racial justice. And it has been for a long time. And I say that to give context to like my life, and that has played a part in my relationships that's known about me. Mm-hmm. However, like this happening has given it, I'm learning more every day this past month than I've learned the last 5 years. And I actively seek this stuff out. I involve mm-hmm. myself in these organizations. I'm like, I do everything that I can. And for years, and I'm still every single day I go to bed with more knowledge than I woke up with, and more. And it's been, I don't know for you guys as a couple, for me, it's been constant every day conversation, and none of it, of course, debate, because you are on the same page, on the same side. But at the same time, it's like I had this realization last week, and I was telling Kip, I'm like, well, I would be really curious, there's no way to know this, but then the statistical number of interracial couples who are breaking up over this month, because this isn't something that, like, if you don't want to, as an interracial couple, if neither of you really want to talk about this, you don't have to. Even, like, I know black people can't escape being black, but I hope you know what I mean. It's like, as a couple, some couples are interracial and they love each other and they just decide never to talk about racial justice issues. And now it's like, I would be really curious to see how many couples this stuff started going down and the white person in the couple, male or female, just got silent, got quiet, and was like, I don't want to say anything. I'm just going to let them have their, I don't want to, and just stood back right. and just didn't talk about it. Because to me, I was like, that's going to lead to some fucking breakups.
The black box of communication.
Yes.
I would hope that that's not true, because if you're in a committed relationship, you should want to know everything about your partner.
I agree.
You should want to educate yourself about your differences.
I think that type of thing is real, especially when you get into like the Midwestern states. Because you know, I've seen it on my Facebook where I have, like, you know, friends on there that are people of color that live in North Dakota, and they, like, are even, like, pro-Trump people. And it's just what is instilled in them every day. It's almost like a, you know, it's like brainwashing.
Yeah.
And so, well, it's very controversial and it's terrible. And, you know, I just, I'm astonished by it. I think that it does exist and it's, you know.
Well, and I agree wholeheartedly, of course, Alex, that like that's not what should happen. Like if you mm-hmm. if you're in a truly loving relationship for the right reasons, that won't happen. So I guess what I was speaking to is like it's really going to expose the fetishizing relationships. I guess yes. that's what I was trying to say mm-hmm. is like mm-hmm. the ones who are not real are going to fucking come out right now, because the ones who mm-hmm. are, it's not an issue for, like you're saying, it's not like, but I just think that there's a lot.
Should be talking about this, like,
yes.
even non-interracial couples should be having these conversations. Yes. And because we cannot, you know, defeat racial injustice without y'all. Like, it needs mm-hmm. to be, we need white people to be part of the movement, because we can't yeah. do it without, it needs to be everybody together, joining together on an equal front, you know? Yeah. So I just think that, you know, what you guys are doing, having these conversations with your family members is so important, because you need to talk to them, because they don't know, you know, no. they're not having to deal with racial issues in their daily life. They might not even know a person of color, period.
Yeah.
So the fact that you guys are talking to them and sharing articles to educate them is, I think it's really important, and it's kind of what is making this revolution kind of stand apart, because every day, like, we are still committed to posting it, you know? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. every day we're still posting Black Lives Matter. Every day we want to see justice for Breonna Taylor. Like,
yeah.
it's something that I think is really important, that young people are having these conversations with their family members right now.
Yeah, and I think that, like, mm-hmm. one of the biggest things that's, it's so simple, but it's so hard for people to do, is to, like, allow your own opinion to be changed based on new information that you receive. Like, it sounds so basic, but it's, like, scientists, like, every like, mathematical career, that makes sense, right? Like, you gain evidence, you change your theory, you change your, like, opinion on it. It's just, like, why is it an ego struggle? Why am I upset that what I believed 5 minutes ago was proved wrong? So what? So now I learn more. Now I gain mm-hmm. more knowledge. And I think that's like a hang up for people, where it's like hard to see all these things on Instagram, deny it, deny it, deny it. Then you start to see like, no, this is real. Oh shit, this is real. This pisses me off because this isn't what I thought for the last 30 years. Who cares? Mm-hmm. It's more to your character to actually acknowledge it and be like, wow, I didn't know that. But now I do, and that's going to change how I think.
Yeah, and have empathy for someone thousands of miles away that you might not even know personally. Just have the general humanity to wish them well.
Yeah,
is what is most needed right now.
Yeah, it's the smallest things. Like, just please wish every human well.
That's all
we're
asking for. It's not crazy,
it's
y'all.
The smallest fucking thing.
It's not crazy, least... y'all.
The
just
least.
Stop killing us. Just stop killing us.
Just stop.
Is that too much to ask for?
Right. You know, like, I saw this one girl on, like, a rant, and it was the most eloquent, beautiful, perfect rant that I've ever seen. And she was, like, at the end, oh, God, it was, like, the best way to end it. It was a Black woman. And she said, she's talking to white people, and she's like, you are lucky that we're not looking for retaliation and we're just looking for equality. Like, and that was, and it's like, even the phrase Black Lives Matter, it's saying like they
the
matter.
Easiest thing to
they
say.
Matter. Just that they matter. It doesn't have anything to do with they're not more than, it's not anything. It just says they matter. And you can't get behind that. Oh, God.
This empathy, it's what you, the first thing you learn when you're a child.
Yeah, right.
And, like, I had asked Dace and Molly, but, like, Al, for you, being in an interracial relationship and being Black and being and living now with everything happening, like, do you feel conflicted, and do you like in some sort of way, you know, because of like those comments that you've heard, like, oh, I'm with my oppressor, but like, will my partner actually understand? Like, they say they understand, but can they actually understand? Do you ever have those moments of like, do I truly have a supportive partner? And like, how do?
No, I've never questioned if Dace, you know, was supportive of me and my culture, because he's shown that he has been supportive and willing to learn and educate himself, mm-hmm. or else, you know, we wouldn't be together, really. Right. So that has definitely been very reassuring, and it has also been reassuring how, you know, he has wanted to get to know my family and wanted to watch documentaries and educate himself about the news and what's going on, mm-hmm. and talk to me about how I'm doing every day and being, because everybody needs somebody that they can talk to and, you know, decompress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, with what's going on right now, I think it's great. I think the movement really needed this. And I think that having this amount of energy and minds and having these discussions is like what's just so important right now.
Can you imagine, like, if someone were to tell me 2 months ago, so many things that have happened in the last month, like, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, I would have been like, I will literally give my life savings. This is not going to happen next month. Yeah. Like, there's no way.
Which makes me think, like, if this is bad, imagine what next month is going to be.
Well, I mean, like, I mean,
what is 2021 going to be if this is 2020?
Well, even like, I mean, in terms of like the platform that Black Lives Matter has been given in a positive light, like, I mean it in a positive light, like, the things that like I care about so much that like my friends who care about it so much are also, to find the information, you have to go. I don't know if I was talking to you, Alyssa, recently, but it's like, you would have to go to the Black Lives Matter page, mm-hmm. or White People for Black Lives, or you have to go to these organizations' pages. Now, this shit is, my whole story is knowledge. I'm learning every day. And I'm like, if you would, and then the Minnesota, the Minneapolis, what did they voted to, like, they're going to look into defunding the police entirely. Like, the NFL coming out, and even though they wouldn't say Kaepernick's name, fuck you, but they still came out and were like, we were wrong. NASCAR. I'm like, all this crazy shit feels like a alternate universe. If someone a month ago would have told me this was going to happen, and I try to keep that in mind when I get to doomsday, like, the world has gone to shit, because I'm like, no, this stuff was always there. It's just that now it's coming out, and not only that, but now people are actually caring, and it's a big deal.
It's caring, and it's also like really shining a hot spotlight on the people that are truly in their bones racist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I'm thinking of like the line of cars, like, because NASCAR is doing amazing things and getting behind Bubba Wallace, I think his name is. The first day, I think it was like their first race that they had it was like a line of people, like, since they banned the flag, was a line of cars, Confederate flags. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Is going on in this universe. And I think I posted this. It was like an amazing tweet of just like, how can you be so stupid to wave a flag of a country that doesn't exist, mm-hmm. and of a flag of a community that this country defeated? It's just like, what point are you actually trying to make other than you hate Black people?
It's something wrong with them. It's something wrong with white people. I don't know. It's just there's something really wrong with them. Because that's coupled so under this pandemic, you know, we should be concerned with, you know, just basic survival and keeping each other healthy and putting our resources towards finding a cure. And we're the only country that are still having these very kind of base level debates about, you know, Masks. Whether or not it's okay to strangle somebody, you know,
it is so baffling
to me. And the only thing I can think is just like, there's something wrong. Something went
wrong. it's truly the education system that it goes all the way back because 100%. I swear to God, you know what? I like, nobody learns anything real.
I'm curious because, you know, I was raised in Jersey and I don't remember being taught Juneteenth. Do you remember being taught Juneteenth days? Like,
no.
Do you think anyone in your community knows what Juneteenth is?
Now they do. North Dakota actually recognized Juneteenth as a national holiday.
Wow.
So I'm sure a lot of them are going to have to go do some research about what it actually is and what it actually means. I never learned about Juneteenth.
No.
Growing up.
Yeah, neither did I.
A lot of people don't even know that, like, even after they abolished slavery, that a lot of southern states still had slaves. Oh, yeah. You know?
Well, and Juneteenth also, people think, like, oh, this is when the slaves are free. No, this was 2 years after, and this was somebody going to Texas and being like, the slaves have been freed 2 years ago. Get out of here. You know what I mean? It's like not even a, even people who know the name of it now, like this year, this month, people know, they still think it's like, oh, that was when the slaves were freed. It's not. Like, it's so much more than that. And also, like, the Confederate flag itself, like, I hesitate to get into the details because it's like, you can't even argue with people like that, right? But at the same time, I'm like, do you understand that the Confederacy existed for 5 years? 5 years. That's when you talk about rich American history. This isn't a deep part of your family's history. This is like a college degree, 1 year more than a college degree. 5 years. Yeah. Also, the flag that is flown now as a Confederate flag wasn't the official Confederate flag.
No.
That was like, it was like that in the top left of the flag and then a white flag with a white or with a red stripe on the front. And that flag that we know today got adapted into being its own flag by this politician who specifically used the flag to represent his opposition to integration. So the actual flag that is used today as a Confederate flag, people do not know, represents nothing more than opposing integration. It is a straight, solely racist flag. And even if you're going to say it's the Confederacy, that was 5 years. People don't know this shit.
Molly, I don't know, you're part of South Jersey, Al, but my part of South Jersey, they were flying that flag on their property. And we are in the damn Union. That's how much the education system has failed.
Wait, you saw
Jersey
that all over
is
South
a mess
Jersey.
With all the yeah. even oh, by I, me in
Jersey's
South
a
Jersey,
mess.
There is a
yeah.
huge Trump like flag, like when you get
wow.
off the exit.
Wow.
Well, in my, so. I'm coming from a very like farmlands everywhere. It's really weird. You think you're in the South in my part of town, but there's like my high school is also on a farm and there's crops everywhere. And there was a swastika burned in the crop fields in the like late 90s. My sister went to that when my high school. Yeah, it was
wow,
fucking weird.
And
yeah,
the people
it doesn't matter north, south, east, west.
They're everywhere.
It does
yeah, it doesn't matter.
Matter
blue state, red state. Yeah, it really
the
doesn't.
The thing is, like, I'm always say, like,
yeah.
If you're going to so strongly stand on something, educate yourself about what you're standing on. Mm-hmm. Like, at least stand, if you're going to stand on the Confederacy, don't pretend like it's this rich part of American history. Acknowledge it was 5 years long. I'm standing on it. This isn't the actual flag of it, but I'm standing on it. Like,
and it's just about white supremacy, period.
And that's all it's about. Just acknowledge that shit. Mm-hmm.
Because then they would also have to acknowledge, if they would have to educate themselves, they'd have to acknowledge their own family members' racism. And that's what they don't want to do. It's like, no, this is what my granddaddy taught me. Mm-hmm. This is what I was taught. They can't be wrong. You know,
right.
Like, this is my family. So it's yeah.
The Tulsa riots, like, you know how many people obviously, like, didn't know about it until this year? But also, there was an NPR story. My parents were telling me about this. An NPR story where they were interviewing people of Tulsa today, black and white people who grew up and were raised in Tulsa and live there now and didn't know about this. And like,
about the massacre?
Central Park was Seneca Village. It was a black freed slave community and they were forced to leave and their houses were torn down and now it's Central Park. No one is taught that.
Like, I'm so disappointed in myself that I didn't find out until I didn't know about the Tulsa massacre until I watched Watchmen. Mm-hmm. That's when I found out.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, people need to.
I was like, I cannot fucking believe this was real.
No, but this is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. People need to stop blaming themselves for. Like, yeah, you should be shocked that you didn't know. But the fact is, the system is set up for us to not know. So from here on out, it's our, like, okay, so you can be pissed off that you didn't know. Yeah, we know we should have known. Moving forward, it's on us, as opposed to just getting hung up on, oh, I'm so embarrassed I didn't know. I can't talk about this stuff because I didn't even know this. Like, we can't shut down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, before.
And you have to keep learning. That's, like, mm-hmm. the only way we're going to get anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before we get into the SOS moment, I wonder if you have like any advice on other, you know, interracial couples that are having struggles communicating and, coming together and like, you know, understanding your partner's struggles. Like, do you have any advice to couples like that?
Be patient, listen to one another. For white people, don't get defensive. Actually listen to what your counterpart is saying and understand that there is depth to these conversations. They're not just, you know, surface conversations. They should have depth and understanding, and you know, it's not gonna, you may not understand right away. But if you continue to converse and, you know, talk to one another about the issues, about the struggles, you'll understand it. Or at least you'll have an idea of it. I mean, and I'm just speaking as the white person, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm never going to fully comprehend what, you know, some topics, about what Alex and I talk about, but at least I can have, you know, a little bit of understanding and some acknowledgement of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what I would say is, like, you know, the family doesn't make the person, really. Like, mm-hmm. You know, you can meet someone and have them be from a totally different part of the world and still find a common bond and still have like a great relationship together. I mean, just even because, like, being a black gay male, you know, I had a lot of family members that don't agree with being gay.
Yeah.
You know, and that's if I'm with a white guy or if I'm with a black guy or a blue guy, they just don't, you know, really fuck with being gay. And the same way that I have to educate them is the same way, you know, he is having to educate his family on, you know, cultural and racial issues. So, you know, when it comes, like, the family stuff, like, if they're not, like, really directly in your life, you know, just try to educate them. Try to have those conversations when you can, and also know when to take a moment for yourself and step away, you know, before you end up, you know, just completely writing them off. Because when people shut down, then we're never going to get anywhere if it's always a fight and then you stop talking and then you never talk about it again.
You're
like,
right.
You need to get in there, be uncomfortable, you know, even if it's a conversation that you have to come back 2 days later, bring it up again, bring it up the next Thanksgiving, you know, until you feel like you guys are getting somewhere and that you're being understood.
Yeah. That's really good advice.
Yeah. Well, now I'm curious, like, what's your SOS moment?
As a couple? And,
yeah, as a couple or whatever. Yeah. Or maybe just Daces, whatever you guys feel like sharing.
I think that my SOS moment was when I had to have a conversation with my family about race. I wish that our conversation could have been had on the phone. We were actually texting.
Oh.
So I brought it up, and, you know, the conversation started as, don't forget, Black Lives Matter, and we all have to continue educating ourselves to actually get somewhere with this. Like, it didn't stop. And my younger sister, who is married to a cop, you know, started saying things like, well, what about the black-on-black crimes?
Oh.
What about, like, the...
Which is a symptom of racial injustice, which is...
yeah. You know, just, like, ignorant things like that.
Yeah.
And I sort of had to take that moment and be like, well, you know what? I need to educate myself more. I need to be able to put this more, not as complex, but break it down a little bit so there is a little bit of comprehension.
Yeah.
And like,
communicating to your audience, whoever your audience is, like, how will they understand this?
Yeah. And let's have this conversation another time when I'm on, because right now I'm speaking from an emotional place and that's getting us nowhere. You know, because I mean, I said some kind of hurtful things. I said, like, you're never gonna come to mine and Alex's wedding if we ever do choose to get married.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. And so I just knew that I had to sort of reel myself back and be able to speak from a place of truth, but also knowledge. And don't worry, we will continue this conversation. It's not done here.
Yeah.
You know? So I would say that was my SOS moment, especially in this climate that we're in today.
Yeah. How about you guys as a... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was like, do you feel... Like, I wonder how do you feel about that, Al? You know, like, do you feel comfortable having people, even on your side, you know, family, friends that don't understand, you know, your love, basically? Like, are you comfortable having them in your life in that way? Like, would you invite them to your wedding? Like, yeah.
Well, I don't really surround myself with people that feel that way, honestly. Like, this, and dating this, like, I'm pretty detached from a lot of, like, those negative kind of people, because I just don't have people in my life like that, you know? And I guess I'm just really blessed that I have family that's always been really supportive of me, and I have really great friends that I talk to all the time and, you know, give me, you know, guidance. And I feel like I have a really great, like, group of people around me. But it has definitely been eye-opening, like, seeing the way his family has reacted to certain things and, you know, seeing, even just visiting North Dakota was, like, such a culture shock. I'm just glad that he's, like, continuing to have those conversations with them.
Yeah.
And I think so much of this, or maybe this is even false, and maybe it's just something that I, like, came up with in my brain because she is my sister, but, like, I sort of was sort of kind of thinking, like, because she's married to, you know, this policeman, like, could this be coming from influence, and, like, sort of, like, making up, like, excuses about it. And, like, thinking, like, oh, she, like, I used to think that, you know, she was, like, really cool and understanding and, you know, whatever it may be. But then at the same time, I'm like, you're a person. You're an adult. You should have your own mind. And even if your counterpart doesn't necessarily believe you, you should be able to speak your own truth and your own, you know, thoughts without having to feel like just because he thinks this way means you have to think that way too. And so, like, I'm also like, I can't make excuses for you anymore. Like, you're, like,
you just honestly have to, it's like,
do the work.
Like you said, it's, the community that we surround ourselves with, especially in our living, like, if she's living, you said she's married, they live together, or, like, if you're in a relationship with someone, or if it's your best friend that you see all the time, whatever, your community affects the way that you think and the perspectives you receive, right? So it's like, but just like you said, it's easy to be like, oh, well, that's just because they only know white people. that's just because they only they live with the cop and they don't really get these other perspectives. But then the rebuttal is exactly what you said. It's like, well, who created that life for her? You know, it's like she can marry a cop. Maybe he's a great guy. Is she also getting outside perspectives, other people in her community? Or like if you only live with this one person, you have one best friend, your partner, and that's it, and you're only seeing this person, you start to evolve into this world. But who, we all create the world around ourselves. Like, like you said, it's our responsibility. Do I want to take in stories? Like at the beginning of this conversation, I'm like, I don't care about talking to someone who lived a life just like mine. I want to talk to you guys. I want to talk. I want to learn things. I just want to learn. Like,
yeah, it's having the heart to want to do that. If you don't have the heart,
and it's
for
your responsibility too.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Well,
I'm just like in a daze of gratitude for you guys coming on this podcast.
I know. Thank you so much for sharing your stories and like, you know, like I love you both so much. You guys know that. I love you so much.
Me
and
too.
And
I love you. I love you so much. We love you, Molly and Alyssa.
So
and we
thank
are just
you.
So proud of y'all with your podcast and everything you're doing. It's just fabulous, girls. Fabulous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I love you. Thank you for being here and sharing. Thank you so much, Alan Dace, for such a wonderful conversation. And I hope it inspires a lot of other people to be vulnerable and, you know, to kind of admit when you're uncomfortable and the uncomfortable aspects of being in an interracial couple in times like this. Because I mean, you can speak more on this than me, Molly, but like, I'm sure there's so many conflicting feelings about knowing that your partner is an ally, but also feeling in your own way, maybe isolated. I don't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, no.
I think it's also important for people to listen who are in the position of like, Dace's family or my family that I was mentioning or people that are so sheltered, they don't, that's not their reality. And it's not any fault of their own. It's just like, I'm white. I grew up in an only white community and I married a white person. I have white kids and I don't really have to deal with these things. Although I hope it brings to the forefront that it's highly likely that you're only one degree removed from someone who is dealing with it or two or three in the sense that like I said, my cousins or aunts and uncles who aren't having this experience at all, I'm their cousin and I'm in interracial relationships or Dace is like his sister. It's like your brother is dealing with this. Like it's not very far removed, even if it's not in your reality. I think people need to hear this and actually put themselves like, wow, people I love are a part of these situations. And not have any ego about learning and being proven wrong, because there's no shame in that. It's actually just empowerment the more you learn about it. And I'm just really glad they came on and actually were that open with us about it.
Yeah, we're very lucky.
Yeah. The charity nonprofit this week is the Trevor Project. The Trevor Project is the leading national organization providing crisis intervention and suicide prevention services to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning young people under 25. Recently, they've been supporting Black LGBTQ youth in crisis, expressing a wide range of emotions over the senseless and unjust violence against Black Americans. No matter where you're located, it's possible that these current events are impacting your mental health in ways that you might not realize. Black LGBTQ young people hold multiple marginalized identities. Under the minority stress model, experiences of discrimination, rejection, threats, and violence are compounded and lead to negative mental health outcomes. In addition, research says that despite Black LGBTQ youth having similar rates of mental health disparities to all LGBTQ youth, they are significantly less likely to receive professional care. To learn more and donate, please visit thetrevorproject.org.
It's fucking depressing to think about.
Wow. And that's another thing. When people start to blast their, like, well, you don't have any more mental health issues over this than white people. It's like, True.
Yeah, but you're but more do I have the
resource?
Care.
But do I yeah, do I have the resources to get help for it? Cuz you have to always take your argument one step further before you spew it and see if there's another. I do the same. Like I'll have an opinion and then I'll be like, if you just wait a minute and think about the next step, like a lot of times, even without someone pointing it out to you, you can get there. You can be like, oh, it's probably because of this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, where I mean, there's no one, there's no, like, the wokest person on the planet does not exist. You know, it's just like everyone has room to learn and grow, and there's no shame in it. It's just, you know, it's like,
In fact, there's, in my opinion, there's shame in not, there's a lot of shame in not doing it. And not trying. So, yeah. You're going to stumble. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to say something that you didn't realize was ignorant or like, who cares? Honestly, every single Black person that I've talked to about this would rather you do your best to stand up for them and stumble and have someone point out, actually, this is what you should actually say this and move on and keep fighting for them than not say anything. And in the same way that like, as a woman, if I'm at like the Women's March, I'd so much rather see a man up there saying, trying to speak for like, for our cause and say something where I'm like, I don't think that's what you meant, then have no using man get privilege. Up there at all.
Right. Or show up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, keep having those difficult conversations. And, you know, if you're having trouble kind of finding the words to do so, if you have family members that you definitely need to talk to and straighten out, you know, you can reach out to us at the SOS Pod.
Yeah. And I really want to engage with whoever our listeners are, like any of you. If you have, like Alyssa said, questions, or if you have a story, something you experienced in interracial dating or someone you know, like just like communicate with us. There's nothing, you know, we're a new podcast, and the best feeling is when you feel like your audience and your listeners are engaged and trying to interact with you. And so like, please send us a message. We're not going to like blast you all over without your permission. We just want to engage in conversation. And yeah, so please do.
Yep. Yeah, we're all ears. So find us at the SOS Pod on Twitter, on Instagram. Find us on YouTube. Search SOS with Molly and Alyssa. We are on Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. So shoot us a little 5-star review because it really helps us grow our audience. Yeah, if you like us, please support us. So thank you for listening. We love you. And here's to turning meltdowns into magic.